morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, January 15th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Wyoming lawmakers on the Joint Appropriations Committee have been slashing parts of the governor's proposed budget this week. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements reports some moderate Republicans are gassed.
The committee is controlled by members and endorsees of the Further Right Wyoming Freedom Caucus. The caucus made cuts to the University of Wyoming, tribally run medical facilities, reimbursement rates for mental health providers, summer meals for K-12 students, Wyoming Public Radio, the state's Economic Development Agency, and higher wages for state employees, to name just a few. Moderate Republicans told WPR some of the ways the committee is operating are unusual.
I see reductions to various parts of the budget, but then when I go back and I watch the conversations with the agencies, they don't ask any questions regarding that particular issue.
Well, it was a sad day when the Joint Appropriations Committee voted to remove $61 million from the University of Wyoming's budget. That is a terrible decision.
It set us up for a gridlock in this session, a gridlock where the governor's veto is going to be very important.
That was Representative Lloyd Larson of Lander, former Representative Clark Stith of Rock Springs, and Senator Cale Case of Lander. Freedom Caucus members say the cuts are meant to protect taxpayers. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements in Lander.
A former Wyoming Public Schools chief announced she's running for Congress yesterday. Jillian Balow joins a growing field of Republicans seeking the open seat, including Casper entrepreneur Reed Reisner and current Wyoming Secretary of State Chuck Gray. Like them, Balow says she's running to back President Donald Trump. Balow was Wyoming Superintendent of Public Schools from 2015 to 2022. She oversaw the overhaul from No Child Left Behind to Every Student Succeeds. She resigned a year early from her second term to take the same post in Virginia. Her year-long tenure there was marked with miscalculations for local school funding, according to local news outlets. Mountain West states will receive more than $1 billion to improve rural health care in the coming months. As Jenny Kinsey reports, the funds were passed by Congress last year.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced funding for what is dubbed the Rural Health Transformation Program. Officials across the Mountain West praise the funding, including Mark Gordon, Wyoming's governor.
Wyoming has secured over $200 million in federal funding to address basic health care problems that rural families live with every day.
Some funds will help rural hospitals, emergency and tribal care, workforce training and preventative programs that tackle diabetes, heart disease, and suicide. Arizona, Idaho, Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, and Utah received an average of $200 million. Overall, the initiative will pour $50 billion into the rural health care across the country over 5 years. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Jenny Kinsey.
President Trump is promising U.S. dominance over Venezuela's oil. What does that mean for one of the top oil-producing states in the country? Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan has more.
Petroleum Association of Wyoming's Pete Obermuller doesn't anticipate Wyoming oil companies moving into Venezuela anytime soon.
I can't really overstate how bad the situation is in Venezuela with respect to infrastructure.
Power cuts, stolen equipment, corroded pipelines, and political corruption, to name a few. Estimates show it could take $183 billion and 10 years to get everything up to par.
That's not the kind of environment that's conducive to the companies that operate in Wyoming.
Obermuller says if other bigger oil companies made those investments, that could continue to saturate the oil market and keep prices lower, which isn't good for Wyoming producers. However, he says that's a big if. The global oil market has a lot of factors and is tricky to predict. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Two Democratic state representatives have been hearing from Wyomingites across the state before the upcoming legislative session. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Sophia Boyd-Fliegel reports from the Teton County Library.
All right.
In a small circle of chairs, a breakout group leans in to share what keeps them up at night.
Affordability is a major issue. What is happening with our public lands and access to public lands?
After hearing from the room of about 50, Representatives Carly Provenza of Laramie and Mike Yin of Jackson say this is all similar to what they've been hearing across the state and across the aisle.
Everything that's been written here isn't something we haven't seen before.
The goal of these sessions is to gauge community needs before lawmakers dive into their biggest priority.
Most of these ideas are going to come in the budget. Where we spend our money is where our values are.
The session will be a busy one. It starts February 9th and lasts 20 legislative days. Lawmakers will also need to decide school funding, and reproductive freedoms will be front and center after the state Supreme Court upheld abortion access. Sophia Boyd-Fliegel, KHOL News.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Tongue River High School has the biggest group of singers headed to All-State Choir ever. The Sheridan Press reports Dane Doki, Andrew Logan, and siblings Erica and Hatcher Stutzman will represent the school at the Wyoming All-State Music Event on January 19th and 20th in Cody. Kelly Walsh High School in Casper broke an 8-game losing streak to local rival Natrona County High School. The Casper Star Tribune reports the annual Oil Bowl football game has gone to Natrona County since 2017, but Kelly Walsh notched a 35-25 win under the full moon this year. A record number of anglers achieved the Wyoming Game and Fish Department's Cut Slam Challenge last year. 210 people caught the state's 4 native subspecies of cutthroat trout in their native drainages, besting 2020's record by 10. This was also the 8th consecutive year when more than 100 anglers completed the cut slam. Several Wyoming communities ranked highly on the latest AARP Livability Index platform. The online tool scores every neighborhood and community across the country for the services and amenities that improve people's quality of life. 25 Wyoming towns scored above average. And Jackson was named the state's most livable community. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What was the coldest temperature ever recorded in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, who was Wyoming's first territorial governor? John Allen Campbell was the first governor of the Wyoming Territory. He was appointed by Ulysses S. Grant and served from 1869 until 1875. Campbell County was named for him. Congratulations to Mike Neal, who was the first person to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy the day and join me again tomorrow. Thank you.